It truly is a privilege to be here with you this morning. And some of you, I imagine, have never seen me before. Others perhaps have heard me speak once or twice. But both Nir and I are looking forward not just to this morning, but to this coming month, having the opportunity not just for us to really get to know some of you, but also for you to get to know a little bit more of who we are. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was praying and just thinking, well, how can I tell you something more of who we are? And this story came to mind when Nia and I got married. Nia is from Jakarta in Indonesia. We met on a little island called Lombok in Indonesia, where we worked as missionaries amongst Muslims. But when I asked Nia to marry me, we didn't really know each other. Now, that might sound a bit shocking. We really got married by faith. I probably, when I asked Nia to marry me, I knew very little about her family. I knew very little about her. She knew very little about me. And we both struggled to speak each other's language. I was just learning to speak Indonesian. There's a whole story that goes with that, but that's for another time. But the time that I asked her to marry me, we were in Bali in Indonesia. Wonderful, beautiful place to ask someone to marry you. We went to this beauty spot called Tanah Lot. It's right on the ocean. Looks out over the sea and a beautiful little island. And unbeknownst to Nia, it was actually my birthday as well. Unbeknownst to Nia, as I was able as a missionary, I'd taken all of the money that I had and bought a solitaire diamond ring, and it was in my pocket. Now, bear in mind that we hardly know each other. And we went to Tanah Lot, and I didn't have much money left because I'd spent it all on the ring, so I just had enough money to buy two bottles of Sprite. And we sat on a rock wall, a low rock wall, and we were sitting there with our bottles of Sprite looking out over the ocean. And I'd kind of imagined what this would look like, as you do. On Friday, Hannah and Nia and I and one of Hannah's friends, we watched Crazy Rich Asians. Who's seen that movie, Crazy Rich Asians? Nobody? Come on! It's an amazing movie anyway. Very romantic, and there's this scene where there's another couple getting married, and there's these two that are in love, but their relationship seems impossible because they come from completely different backgrounds. And as this other couple are getting married and the music's playing, these two kind of mouth to each other, I love you. And I'm watching this, and this is on Friday, any time there's a wedding scene, I start crying, you know. So I'm just crying, and I'm watching this. And I imagined this for my own, you know, asking Nia to marry me, that this was going to be an intensely romantic moment. And so I'm sitting on the wall, and I put my bottle of Sprite down, and I slip off the wall, and I get down on my knee. This is a public place, so there's lots of other people around. I get down on one knee, and I produce the ring from my pocket, and I said, Nia, apa kamu mau menikah dengan saya? Nia, will you marry me? Now, again, I'm anticipating the intensely romantic moment. You know, maybe a little tear running down. You know, just one tear running down Nia's face as the joy of me asking her and proposing hits her. But I got something rather different from that. Because Nia didn't just cry one tear. She began to do something I call ugly crying. And I'm still on one knee. I'm here. And she won't look at me. She won't make eye contact. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, have I made the biggest mistake of my entire life? Is she going to say no? You see, when you ask someone to marry you, it's almost as though you break open your chest like open heart surgery, you know, and you take out your heart, you know, your beating heart is in your hand, and you're saying, I want to give you everything that I am. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my past, my present, and my future. I want to give everything that I am to you. And so here am I. I'm on one knee. I've got my heart in my hand. I'm asking Nia, I want to give you my heart. Will you give me your heart? I wasn't looking at anyone else that might have been there at the time, but I do wonder what they were thinking. So yes, old poor man, you know. And after Nia says it was shorter, I'm certain I was down there for at least 10 minutes while she wailed and cried. And finally, there's this little voice through the tears said, yes. I tell you what, that one word changed my life. Changed my life. Nia's an amazing woman, a gift to me, a true gift to me. Changed my life, that one word, yes, I will. But you see, Father's here this morning also, our Heavenly Father. And he's on one knee before each one of us. He's on one knee. And he's breaking open his chest this morning and taking out his heart before you. And his words to you this morning are this: I want to give to you everything that I am. I want to give you all of my heart, all of my life, all of my love, everything that I am. I want to give it to you. Would you give me your heart? Would you let me have your heart? You see, our hearts are the very essence of who we are. You know, when you stand up here, you can be under the misapprehension that you're a great man of God or a great preacher, but there's one thing I know, and that is this: I'm just a little boy who needs to be loved. I'm just a little boy who needs my daddy. I'm just a little boy who's longing to be fathered. I'm just a little boy who's longing to be cared for, longing to be seen, longing to be heard, longing to be cherished. Because our hearts are created for love. Not a love that this world can offer, not a love that is limited by human nature, but a love that is way beyond anything that we can even begin to contemplate or imagine. A love so dynamic. I think it was Brennan Manning who said, if we could take all of the goodness of every man and woman on earth and impart them into one person, all of the goodness of all of mankind, all in one person, it still wouldn't be close. It still would be nothing compared to the unveiled dynamic love of God. His love is so much greater, and he's on his knees before us this morning. He's on his knees before you, and he's asking, would you give me your heart? Would you give me your heart? You know, for some of us, that's a scary thing. Maybe because our own fathers were angry, or maybe because they rejected us or weren't there for us. They hurt us in some way. And the thought of giving our heart to another father is a scary or a frightening thing. For some others, it's the converse. We had wonderful parents, wonderful fathers, wonderful dads. And there's something in our hearts that says, well, I don't really need to know God as a father because I've had such a wonderful father here on earth. Well, if this is a bad father and this is a absolutely brilliant father, God as father is up with British Airways at 30,000 feet. You have never had a father like him. You've never had a father like him. And this morning he's asking, would you give me your heart? You see, so often we make Christianity such a complicated thing. We have all of our theology, we have all of our theological books, we have all of our studies, we have all of our Bible college classes, all of our books, all of our courses. But when it comes down to it, it's as simple as this. It's a love relationship. It's all about love, heart to heart. You see, when you preach, this is what I know about preaching. If you preach from your head, if you preach from what you know, you'll speak to people's heads. But if you preach from your heart, you'll speak to people's hearts. If you'll speak from the life that is within your heart, that life will be imparted to the hearts of others. Why is that so important? Because God wants your heart. He's longing for your heart. We better read a scripture. It's a Christian meeting. In Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, it says this, chapter 4, verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. You see, Christianity isn't about information. It's not about theology. It's not about what you know. Indeed, Paul says, if a man thinks he knows something, I used to think I knew a lot. If a man thinks he knows something, he does not yet know it as he ought. But if a man loves God, he is known by God. It's not about what you know, it's about who you're in love with, who you're being loved by. Remember, sometimes when I look at Song of Solomon, when I read through Song of Solomon and read some of the things written there, it's almost like you feel a bit, oh, that's a bit, is that, should that really be in the Bible? You know, that's a bit too personal. That's a bit, I gather that Mike a few months back preached a sermon about sex. You know, should we really be talking about that in a Christian meeting? My sister, when she got engaged, she and her former husband now wanted to get a verse of scripture written, inscribed on the inside of their engagement ring. You know, the one from Song of Solomon's where it says, is it a cord of three strands cannot be broken? And so they went to the jeweler and they told him what verse they wanted and then came back a few days later to collect the ring. And the jeweler had put the wrong verse reference on the ring. Instead of a cord of three strands shall not be broken, it says, your breasts are like fawns. Your breasts are, I mean, this is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. You see, Father doesn't want to inscribe a scripture on your engagement ring. He wants to write words of life and words of love on the very tablet of your heart. Words of poetry. Words of identity. Words of value. Words of significance. that speak of who you are, that speak of his love for you. The verse goes on in Proverbs. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for your heart is the wellspring of life. Your heart is who you are. Let me ask you that this morning. Who are you? Who are you really in here? Behind the bravado. Behind who you think others want you to be. Who you think you should be. Behind all of that, who are you in your heart? You know, recently we had all over the news, well, it's a few months back now, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore having this meeting that was going to change the destiny of the world in the way it was presented. And you see these two guys come in. You know what I see when I look at these two guys? Just like me, I see two little boys. Two little boys misbehaving. Two little boys who need to be loved. Two little boys who need to be cherished. Two little boys who long in their heart of hearts, without even knowing it perhaps, long to have a father. Long to be cared for. Long to be heard. Long to be cherished. You see, Father's looking for our hearts. For our hearts. One of my favorite verses as a preacher is in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's right at the beginning. It says, do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on hearts, known and read by everybody. You should know you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. You see, here, even right now, right in this moment, Father has his fountain pen in his hand. And he has beautiful handwriting. He has beautiful words. Words that he desires to write on the very tablet of your heart. Words he desires to write on that deep and intimate place inside of you. The little boy, the little girl, the one perhaps who's been misunderstood, the one who has been silenced, the one who hasn't been heard. He's longing to write on the tablet of your heart words of life and words of love. His love is unlike anything else. I used to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows it, right? Even if you're a non-Christian, you go to a wedding and the sermon is on perhaps 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go to a funeral, it's on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Describing, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. I used to read this like a prescription. I used to read it like something, this is what I have to do, this is how I have to behave if I want to be like Jesus, if I want to look like Jesus, if I want to bear the image of Jesus. This describes for me in a number of verses what my behavior should be like, what my personality should be like. So let's just say that I happen to meet Mike. And I'm a very, very annoying person. You know that person that perhaps you try to avoid in the high street? Because whenever I meet you, I shake your hand and then I don't let go. You know, I keep... And then I begin to talk all about myself. this is what I'm doing, this is all about my family. Let me tell you, it would be fine if I hadn't already told you those things 4 or 5 times before. But here we go again, you know, and Mike's a good Christian boy, and so he's standing there thinking, love is patient, you know. I should be patient. Love is kind. I should be kind to Richard. I'll hold his hand. I'll even not let go of his hand. I'll ask him to tell me more about himself, because love is patient and love is kind. I'm going to love him. I'm going to look at him with eyes of love, like Jesus would look at him. But inside, what he's really feeling is, this guy drives me crazy. But love is patient and love is kind. You see, the thing about patience is this. As long as it requires, thank you, Mike, as long as it requires effort, you don't have it. As long as it requires effort, you don't have it. You're just pretending to be something you're not. You see, the thing about those verses is they don't describe the love that we have a capacity to bear or to give. They describe the love of God himself. This is what he is like. And it doesn't say you need more patience or you need more kindness. It says love is patient. Love is kind. It's not that you need more patience or more kindness. You need to be filled with more love. You need to receive love. Your heart needs to meet love. In fact, it says it, doesn't it, in 1 John 4, verse 19. We love. Why? Because he first loves us. You know, for so long, my Christianity was a Christianity about me pretending to be like Jesus, in my own effort and my own strength. And the higher you go up the leadership pyramid in the church, and especially if you're like Dave right there at the top, the harder you have to try. Because if you're Dave, you should really look like you behave like Jesus all of the time. He obviously doesn't do a very good job at times. Because you see, what God knows is this. He knows, if I can change your heart, if I can change your heart, your behavior will change automatically. If I can change your heart, even the words that you speak, Jesus said it, didn't he? Our words are the overflow of that which was within our hearts. The more his love fills our hearts, the more we'll manifest his nature. And here's the thing, it will be effortless. Because it's the life of God, not Richard Jones's self-effort. Not Richard Jones's will, not Richard Jones's ability, but the very life of God within being made manifest. You see, being conformed to the likeness of Jesus is to be loved by the one who loves Jesus. Right at the end of John chapter 17, Jesus says this. He says, this is my desire. It's the last thing he says in all of those long prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, this is my desire, Father, that the love that you have for me would be in them. Father, this is my dream, this is my longing, that they would know what it is to be loved by you the way that you love me in eternity. You see, Jesus didn't come to give us our own unique relationship with God. Jesus came to give us his relationship with Father. That we would know what it is to be loved by him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me or in me. The gift that Jesus gives us is so much greater than just forgiveness. In fact, I want to say, really, that's the minor, that's the small thing, that's the incidental thing. It's been dealt with. I've spent so much time focusing on what I've been saved from and forgetting what I've been saved for. To be loved as a son by my Heavenly Father, as Jesus is loved by our Heavenly Father in eternity. This is our destiny. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus has laid his life down for. That in our hearts, we would know what it is to be loved by our Father. We would know the reality of being fathered by him, moment by moment, second by second. He's looking for our hearts. What he's asking us this morning, and as we gather over the course of this next month, is, will you give me your heart? Will you come back to the place of simplicity? Of simplicity. Somehow along the way, my Christianity got so complicated. It felt like I was juggling all, you know, spinning plates. You know, when you see these guys who have these thin sticks and they spin plates on the top, and then they spin another one over here and another one over here, and then they ultimately all come crashing down. That was my Christianity. It all came crashing down because I couldn't sustain it anymore. It was largely my self-effort. But the wonderful thing is, in the place of brokenness, love finds us. Love finds us. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your theological training. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You see, it's as simple as that. Day by day, I want to live my life from the place of being deeply and profoundly loved by God. Coming each day with all of my plates broken on the floor, just as I am. In my helplessness, in my weakness, in my inability to allow my Father to love me and care for me. You know, I've discovered over the years that I'm such a control freak. I'm a control freak. You know, if I wouldn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd go to Control Freaks Anonymous. Why? Because I try to control everything in my life. I want to control my future. I want to control my health. I try dearly to control my weight. Doesn't seem to be working. I try to control my wife, my pension, my future, my family, sometimes even my children. You can ask Hannah. I want to control everything. I want everything to be organized, everything to be just right. But what I've realized is this: I want to be in control because in my heart, I don't believe that I have a Father who loves me. So I've got to do it myself. I've got to look after myself. I've got to forge my own destiny. I've got to make my own future. I've got to find my own way. Why? Because in my heart, I don't yet believe that I have a Father who loves me. But our Father is here this morning. And he's on his knees. He's here just for you. Just for you. And he's looking into your eyes this morning. He's tearing open his ribcage, his chest, even right now. Tearing out his heart, his beating heart. He says, it's all for you. It's all for you. I want to give you everything that I am, all of my life, all of my love. 1 John, it says, God is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. He's the substance of love. God is love. He who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. He who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, to know the length, the width, the depth, the breadth of the love of Christ is to be filled with all of the fullness of God. Is to be filled with all of the fullness of God. It's the scandal of the gospel that the Trinity, the Father and the Son, desire to come and make their home in a broken vessel like me. A jar of clay with the treasure within. And he's here this morning and he's saying, I want to give you the fullness of everything that I am. That you wouldn't have to live your life from your own strength and ability. That you wouldn't have to live your life from your own wisdom or capacity. That you wouldn't have to control everything because you think there's nobody there for you. And it starts right here with one simple question. Would you give me your heart? Would you give me your heart? Maybe your heart's feeling a bit beaten up. Maybe there have been strengths and weaknesses, successes and failures. Father says, I know it all. I've seen, I was right there. I've been with you the whole way. I love you. I love you. Would you give me your heart? Would you allow me to father you in the same way that I'm fathering Jesus? Would you allow me to walk with you, care for you, provide for you, talk with you? Would you allow me to write beautiful poetry on the tablet of your heart? Would you allow me to show you who you really are and exactly how precious you are to me? You know, there's a verse that I love as we explore, and we'll do this in this next month, the relationship between Jesus and our Father. What we see in the Gospels is that Jesus lived in a place of incredible intimacy with Father. In John chapter 14, he says, This my work is not my own. My words are not my own. This is my Father who is doing his work. In John chapter 14, he says, the Son can do nothing except that which he sees the Father doing. When Philip asks him, show us the Father, Jesus says, don't you know me? Because if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We're so one. We're so in union. Everything that I say and do is a manifestation of my Father's heart. He's the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his being. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And there's this little verse, I love it. It's in John chapter 12, verse 49. It says this, my Father tells me what to say and also how to say it. There's a similar verse in Matthew. Jesus says, you're going to be called before the councils and the leaders, and don't worry about what you're going to say. Why? Because the Spirit of my Father will tell you what to say and how to say it. Everything that Jesus said and did, as you read the Gospels, is a manifestation of the heart of our Father. What I love about this verse, and in my own walk and relationship with God, as I come into different situations and different circumstances, when people ask me different questions, Father, what is it that you want to say? I don't want to answer out of my own intellect or my own wisdom. Father, what is it that you want to say, and how do you want to say it? How do you want to communicate this? I want to ask you if you'd stand with me as we finish. Would you stand? Would you put your hand on your heart, wherever you feel like your heart is? Just put your hand there. For some, it's a bit lower down here. For others, it's here. And would you allow Father to have your hand? Would you let him have your hand right now? Would you allow your hand to be his hand? Would you allow him to rest his hand upon your heart right now? Right now, that's right. Thank you, Father. Right across this room. Just feel his hand resting upon your heart, treasuring you. I see you. I see you. Love you. Yes. My little boy, my little girl, my precious child. Just let his hand rest right there on your heart. All of your memories, all of your experiences, the very core of who you are. Because Father says, you belong to me. You are mine. You are mine. Would you give me your heart? And simply let me love you. Let me love you. Thank you, Father.